Well, thank you for having us again today. We haven't been here for a while. It's about a year almost, I think. No, but more than a year. No. Last time we were here was July last year. Yeah. No, I know. So, yeah, it's been good. But look, we just wanted to say to you as a new day, as the church, and obviously to Greg and the boys and to all of you, we are with you in what you're going through in the loss of Hensia, of course, and you have our sincerest condolences. And so we will continue to stay in touch and just, you know, see what God's going to do. Okay, so let me just start this off. A couple of months ago, the Lord began to speak to me about something really important I felt He wanted to do in the body of Christ. And I felt it was something, you know, God's doing a lot of things, you know. And when somebody says, oh, there's something God wants to do, you know, like another thing that God wants to do. Oh, we just heard last week God's doing this, and now you're saying this. Anyway, and I feel there's an emphasis that God is placing on what I want to call the exceeding greatness of His power. You know, God is not short on power. God is not limited. God is unlimited. I think you can all agree with me. God is completely unlimited. And it would seem that at times when you look across the world and you see calamity and troubles and earthquakes and tsunamis and all sorts of stuff, and you wonder, God, where are you? You know, but God is there. And I'm not there to answer every theological, you know, position on why God allows things and why He disallows things and whatever else. I'm not going to do that now. But I want to bring to you a thought that the Lord began to speak to me about. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15 to 23, and I want you to listen carefully to this little scripture. And Paul is speaking, he's writing this letter to the Ephesian church. And he says, this is what he says in verse 15 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. He says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And now he begins to reveal what he's praying about. Paul was praying specific things for the church at Ephesus. And now he says this, and please listen carefully. It says, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. What it means is that the Father would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they could know Him. So there are things we don't know about God that you can only get by the spirit of wisdom and revelation. When we question things and we wonder what's going on, we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation in how God operates and what is going on in the mind of God. Do you know that? And God wants to reveal that stuff. And so Paul is saying for the Ephesian church, I'm praying for you that the Father would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, in knowing Him, just in finding out some stuff about the Father. Look what else he says. He says, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and He has the one that the third thing he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. Did you hear those words? He says he's praying that they may know the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. Look at this. He goes on to say, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's the portion of Scripture. So when it comes to the exceeding greatness of his power, I see a key here. It says the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, not just toward us, but toward us who believe. Toward us who actually believe in that power. So what he's saying is, the power flows towards us when we believe. But we need to believe according to something. Now he mentions, according to the power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Do you know what the Lord showed me? He showed me this, that if Jesus just died on the cross for us, but he wasn't resurrected, we'd all be forgiven. We'd be forgiven. We'd have access. We'd be forgiven. Sins would be cleansed because of his death. But at his resurrection, that is what gave the church access to authority and power. We're not just forgiven. We've received a whole lot more than just forgiveness. So he says, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, because he was raised from the dead and he's seated at his right hand, far above. So it's amazing. It's amazing what we believe. We need to sort out what we actually believe. And we need to understand that God's power is available, but it has to be received in a certain way. Now, what I'm saying is this. When we have need, when we have a situation, something that we're dealing with, something that requires an intervention of God. Ever been in such a situation? Where you can't actually get yourself out of this thing. You can't deliver yourself. You can't help yourself. This situation you're in is so overwhelming that you need God's power to intervene in your life. So now, I think every single one of us must have encountered in our lives situations that were so overwhelming that we needed God's power. Right? And it's a tragedy to know this, that when we're in a situation where we need this intervention, that somehow that power doesn't reach us. That power doesn't come. I don't know what it is, but let me say this to you, that God is working behind the scenes to get to you every single thing you will ever need. Because if Christ died on the cross, was resurrected from the dead, purchased everything we will ever need, it's all available. We don't have to perform for it. We don't have to strive for it. We don't have to try and make it happen. We just have to find out how to access what is already released and given. If salvation is by grace through faith, then everything else is by grace through faith. So he says his power toward us who believe. So believing is the key. Now, let me just say, I just want to give you a couple of thoughts here, just on something. In the Bible, in Mark chapter 5, it talks about there was a certain woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. You know that story? You guys are awfully quiet. I don't know if it's because all the guys are on camp and you're all on holiday. I don't know. So this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she'd been to all the physicians, and it says she'd suffered many things at the hands of many physicians. It says that. It says, but she still grew worse. She'd spent all her money. Now, I heard somebody preach on this and say that she was broken, busted, and disgusted. I mean, she'd tried everything. And she was growing worse. And this issue of blood was there for 12 years. No change, just getting worse. And then she heard. This is the key. She heard. Faith comes by hearing. Did you know that? She heard something. She heard about Jesus. And then she began to say something. She heard, and then she said. She said these words, "If I may just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. I'll be healed." It says she kept on saying, "If I may touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." Now what happened? This woman was broken, busted, and disgusted. 12 years of suffering. She tried everything until that point. She'd lost hope. And then she heard something. She actually heard about Jesus. She heard about the miracle working power of Jesus and other people's testimonies of being healed. Come on now. She didn't open the Bible and see a scripture there. She heard a report about Jesus of Nazareth. She'd heard probably testimonies and reports about blind people seeing, deaf ears opening, cripples walking, demons leaving people. It says his fame spread in the whole region, in the whole area. Everything about Jesus, everything he did just spread. The crowds followed him. There were multitudes following Jesus around. Come on, just picture the situation. You're broken, busted, and disgusted. And you're sitting in your house with your issue. You have nowhere else to turn. And now you hear a report. Jesus of Nazareth is coming through town today. Come on now. Isn't that amazing? Jesus of Nazareth is coming into town. You see, you don't build your faith on somebody else's busted and disgusted situation. You build it on what you hear, the reports you hear of what God is doing. She heard about what Jesus had done for other people. So what happened? She started to believe what she heard. And the possibility that if she could just get anywhere near Jesus, she believed that if she could just touch the hem of his garment. And this was not the only time when someone got healed by touching his garment. There were other times people got healed by touching him. Just touching his garment. I can't give you this, you know, I don't have time to give you the reference, and I haven't put this into my notes, where many people just touched his clothes, immediately got healed. She heard that report. Just go and touch his clothes, you'll be healed. That's enough. Now, not only did she believe this, not only did she believe this report about him, she started saying it, "If I can only just do this." She kept on saying it. And then she obviously saw him coming by. And she went out in the crowd. And guess what she did? She put a demand on this power. Her faith reached out and put a demand on the power. Faith puts a demand on God's power. Faith is the only thing God respects. Do you understand this? It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. This woman had faith, and her faith put a demand on this power without Jesus even knowing about it. She came in the crowd, reached out, touched his garment, and she made a withdrawal on that power. And Jesus felt the touch. A whole multitude were touching him. The whole crowd was touching him. But nobody was touching him with that kind of faith. You understand this? She believed something. And that power flowed in her direction. Another situation. Jesus was teaching in a place, and the place was full of Pharisees. How would you like to teach a bunch of Pharisees who hate you, who are against you, who are trying to get you and sort you out and even kill you? What a lovely crowd. What a nice congregation. And Jesus is teaching them. And the Bible tells me this, and the power of God was present to heal them. Isn't God gracious? He heals even those who wanted to kill Jesus. The power of God was present to heal them. Not one Pharisee placed a demand on that power. Not one Pharisee got healed that day. But the power was present to heal them. Isn't it funny that a power, God's power, can come to do something and we don't even know this power is here? And we don't put a demand on this power. We don't do what it takes to do the withdrawal of that power towards us in our direction. I would like to know when this power of God, when the power of God is operating and I'm anywhere nearby, I would like to know that that power is coming in my direction. That whole room of Pharisees just sat there. The power of God was here. Can you imagine? The atmosphere was charged with God's power. And four men were trying to get into the meeting. The place was packed with Pharisees. And the guys couldn't get into the meeting for their friend who was paralyzed, lying on a stretcher, on a cot, or whatever you want to call it. So they decided, we're going to go up on the roof. We're going to put a demand on this power. And they started making a hole in the roof. We're going to rearrange this building. We're going to do everything we can to get in here. They put a demand on that power. And guess what? The only person who was healed that day was that guy on the stretcher, because somebody put a demand on that power. See, God's power is available, but what do we believe? And those four guys believed if they could just get that guy in there, in that meeting, right in front of Jesus, he would be healed. And that's exactly what happened that day. This is not rocket science. This is simple stuff. And their faith alone accessed that power for their friend. It says Jesus looked up and saw their faith, and then he spoke to the guy on the stretcher. Son, your sins are forgiven you. This guy didn't even ask, Jesus, please heal me. Just the friends letting him down through the roof was putting a demand on power. Jesus can see faith. God can see and recognize faith. It's not something mysterious. You've either got it or you don't have it. It's based on what you've heard. Faith is based on what you hear. It's not a mysterious thing. It's not like hope. You know what? I'm really hoping I'm going to get God to help me. You've got to believe something. You can't just believe anything. Oh, well, maybe if. Because if you're one of those what if people, you're not going to put any demand on God's power. What do you actually believe? You've got to ask yourself this. When you're in a situation, what do you really believe? I mean, what have you heard? And these people received this. Now, back at home, I've got this little book. It's falling apart. It's falling apart. It's a book written by Catherine Kuhlman. Ever heard of that woman? Oh, quite a famous lady. And she wrote this book. It's called I Believe in Miracles. I Believe in Miracles. And the first story of the book, or in the book, it's just there's a bunch of testimonies of people who got miraculously healed under her ministry. And I don't even know the guy's name. But this guy, during the war years, he got injured. He got injured in his legs. And he had some major problems. And he couldn't walk properly, and the doctors had done some surgery and all sorts of things, and this guy was getting worse. And he was on crutches. He hadn't got to the wheelchair stage yet. And this guy was in serious, serious trouble. And he was in pain 24 hours a day. He didn't know what to do. And then one day somebody said, do you know, have you listened to these radio broadcasts? There's a woman by the name of Catherine Kuhlman. Have you listened? And this person said to the family, why don't you send in a prayer request for Catherine to pray for you? So they decided to send in the prayer request. And they sent it in. And then they heard that she was going to be nearby. She was going to be in a certain city in the States holding these meetings. But the closest one to this guy, it's not nearby actually, 3,000 miles away. So this guy decided to get on a bus with his crutches. This guy was almost a cripple. Almost, and he was losing hope. So he got on the bus in the hope that he would make it in time to this meeting. Drove in the bus 3,000 miles. In America, it's miles, by the way. I'm just telling you, miles, eh? So he drives 3,000 miles on the bus and gets there. And people help him off the bus with his crutches and all. And they find out that at the auditorium where the meeting is supposed to be, that the meeting has already happened. And it's over. How about that one? He's standing there on his crutches and he's just heard, oh, the meeting is finished for the day. You're late. You didn't make it. And so he's got a friend in that area. And so the friend picks him up, takes him home. His wife and family are back at home 3,000 miles away. So he's staying with his friend, and he's wondering, what am I going to do now? So the friend hears that Catherine Kuhlman is going to be in another town in a week's time. So he waits at his friend's house for a week. This guy's in such pain. He's in terrible, terrible pain. And so, guess what happens? After a week, his friend takes him to the meeting. They arrive early, and when he gets out of the car and goes towards the doors of this auditorium, he hears that it's packed to capacity. There's not another seat left in the place. How's that for an off-putter? So he's just about to give up and turn around and think, oh, well, that's it. It's over. When a woman comes out of the auditorium and sees him on crutches and looks at him and says, sir, I was healed the other day. I'm done. I don't need to be here. I was just wanting to come and, you know, just be part of it. I'll give you my seat. How's that? So they take him in. Some guys carry him in. By this time, he's totally exhausted. And he gets seated in his seat. The worship starts, you know, I don't know what it was like in those days, but the worship starts and everyone's there, they're all singing, then the singing ends and Catherine Kuhlman appears on the stage. She makes an announcement and says, well, folks, today, thank you for coming. Today is not a healing service. Today is not a miracle service, not a healing service. I'm not praying for the sick, not nothing. We are just going to pray and just wait on God and pray, and then we'll all go home. He's sitting there. And he's in the meeting. So they do the prayer thing. I don't know how long it took after the worship. And she's praying and everyone's praying and all the stuff. And she stands and the prayer is over and she stands and she lifts her hand. She says, I'm now going to do the benediction. You know what a benediction is? It's like to say, God bless you as you go. Bye-bye, you know, type of thing. Not in those words, though. I mean, the slightly better words, you know. The words are nicer, you know. Now may the Lord, our God, oh, well, whatever, I don't know. I've heard the benediction, but I never remember it. So she puts her hand up like this, and she's about to start saying the words. And as she puts her hands up, she stops. She hasn't opened her mouth yet, and she waits. And like a minute or two goes by, she's standing with her hand like this. And the whole crowd are thinking, what the heck is she doing? And all of a sudden, she opens her eyes. She points to the guy in the crowd. She says, you, sir, over there. Are you from California? Oh. He says, yes, I am. In this huge crowd of thousands of people. She points him out and she says, sir, stand to your feet. And he said to her, I can't stand. And she said, I don't care if you can't stand, but God says, stand up, stand to your feet. Now, I don't know how she did it, if it was kind of rude or what, or too direct, or you know, we think we need to be nice to people like this, especially when there's crutches and wheelchairs. You know, stand up, you know, get up. How do you say it? Please stand. It was a command, stand up. So he had his crutches and he pushed himself up on the crutches and he found he was able to look like he was standing. And then she said to an usher, she said, usher, just go there and remove the right crutch from that man. Take it away. He thought to himself, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm going to probably fall over. And as they took the crutch away, he found he could put his weight on this leg. And she's just about to say, listen, remove the other crutch on the other side. And he thought, well, let me just let go of that crutch and see if I can stand. And now he finds he's standing. Now he's standing there. And then she says, I'd like you to do one more thing. Come up here on the platform. And there's about six to eight stairs going up. And he starts to hobble forward. Just kind of hobbling, you know. Barely making it, but as he starts walking, strength starts coming. And he says he took off in a run. The miracle power hit him so hard. He ran up on the stage, up the steps, totally healed. Sometimes these things happen instantly, but that guy had to push through obstacles. He had disappointments along the way. He thought that he would never make it to the meeting, but he had a thought in his mind, if I can just get into this woman's meeting, something is going to happen. And through all the stories I read in that book, everybody believed, if I can just get there or do this, they were saying something. They had the ingredient. If I can just do this, if I can just get there, they did what the woman with the issue of blood did. The exceeding greatness of his power. And the Lord said this to me, that the time has come for the church in this generation to begin to see the miracle working power of God flowing again. In South Africa, around the world, we have a heritage of miracles, revival, and the power of God. John G. Lake came to these shores. I mean, we've got a history of the miraculous and of revival and of the power of God in this country. I'm just looking at my watch because I was given some instructions earlier on. I want to see if I'm in time, you know. And I want to ask you, and I feel God wants to ask you, would you put aside your disappointments? Would you put aside the times when you felt God didn't move for you? Would you put aside those times when you felt God passed you by? Would you? And would you say, God, I still believe? It may be 12 years that you've had your issue. It may be even double that. Like the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. But would you just put it aside and say, God, if Paul prayed this scripture for the church of Ephesus, that they may know the exceeding greatness of his power, then there's hope for us. There must be hope. The same God who did things in the Bible, the same God who did things with other generations, wants to do it for us as well. He wants to. I mean, Kathy was ministering. I mean, she runs a bunch of ladies' meetings, and I'm sure she'll... she's not up here, so I'm going to share her testimony anyway. She's shaking her head saying, I'm not coming up there. Anyway, so... what? There's no time, I know. It doesn't matter. Unless you want to. Do you want to? Anyway, there was this woman who came to one of her ladies' meetings. It was a Saturday morning. I don't think I was there that day. Anyway, I wasn't there that day. But Kathy had a lot of arranging to do, and people were coming in all over the place. And when Kathy came out, she got up and she ministered the word, and you know, there was worship and whatever else was going on, and she ministered. And then she started to minister to people individually in the crowd, giving words, prophetic words to people. And she pointed this one woman out in the crowd. She was sitting in the crowd, but she was in a wheelchair. Kathy couldn't see the woman in the wheelchair. Isn't it funny that we don't pick on the wheelchairs because we can see the wheelchair? Kathy couldn't see the wheelchair. Well, I'm not saying that's why she didn't pick on the woman in the wheelchair. But she didn't know that this woman was in a wheelchair. So she looked at her and she said, you over there, my sister, what is your name, please? Very nice and polite, as my wife always is. She gave her name, and then she said, I see this for you. And God says he's going to heal you. And I see this, and God's going to restore things to your life and restore ministry to you. The enemy has robbed you and blah, blah, blah. The woman didn't jump up and say, yes, nothing like that. She's sitting there like this, looking, you know. I don't know if she had a deadpan look on her face. Yeah, kind of deadpan look on her face, like, yeah, come on, give it, you know. But so she gave her this word. So anyway, at the end of the meeting was over a bit later on, and Kathy noticed them wheeling the woman out in the wheelchair. Off she went in the wheelchair. How nice, eh? God's going to heal you, but nothing happened. Out goes the wheelchair. How encouraging, eh? Kathy did her bit. Now it was up to God to do his bit. So anyway, about a month later, there's another meeting, and I'm involved in the meeting now with Kathy. It's a prophetic gathering. This woman heard about it. She came back with her friends, and once again, I was busy doing some things, making arrangements and so forth. And the meeting started. We had the worship and all that sort of thing. And then I ministered the word. And at the end of the time of ministering the word, I started giving people words from here to the crowd, you know, individually. And there was that woman again. And I never knew about this. And I said to you, my sister over there, what's your name? I gave her almost exactly the same word that Kathy gave her a month earlier. God's going to heal you. What? Hang on, I'm about to get there. So I give her the word. At the end of the meeting, the woman had got up and she was not in the wheelchair. She had a walking stick. So in a month, she progressed from a wheelchair to a walking stick. Two W's. Would you rather have a wheelchair or a walking stick? I think the walking stick's a bit better, right? So she wasn't in a wheelchair anymore. And then she started to share with Kathy. Did she do it at that meeting? No. Okay. So she left. Then there was another meeting a few months or a month or two later, 6 weeks or whatever later. The woman came back to the meeting again. No walking stick now. Now she's walking without a walking stick. And she's doing better. And she came and spoke to Kathy and she said, "You remember a couple of months ago you gave me a word. I was this woman in the wheelchair. Her whole face had changed." She said, "I had this disease." Now, I don't even know how to pronounce it. It's a myasthenia gravis. Ever heard of it? No? I'd never heard of it either. It's about this long, right? She was on 40 tablets a day. I don't know what else was wrong with her. She couldn't breathe either. Her breathing was affected. Her heart was affected. Her blood pressure was affected. Everything was affected. And it's a degenerative disease. And the doctors had her on these tablets. And she came to the meeting and she heard a word. And she said, "I took what I heard and I began to fight with that word. I began to speak that word out. I began to seek in the Bible healing scriptures about God healing people. I started to read the Bible, I took a hold of what God said and I started to fight." And at some point, and she still had pain, she was still struggling and she was still battling. And she had a ministry before she got ill. She used to also run ladies groups and minister all over the place. And she said the devil robbed her. And she believed that God was going to restore. And she carried on speaking those words out. Every day, it was like she took her medication. The word of God was her medication that day. And every day, she was saying it. She was declaring it. And it was a gradual thing over a couple of months. She was off all the tablets. She was also diabetic on top of it. She came off all her tablets, everything. She went back to her doctors. Her doctors did more tests again. And they said to her, "Did we diagnose you wrong, in the wrong way all those years ago? Because you don't have this disease anymore. It's gone. Completely disappeared. You are totally normal and in very good health." So they gave her a clean bill of health. 40 tablets a day. I want to tell you something. It was absolutely amazing. It's amazing what God can do. So now, one more time, I want to say, would you just forget about your disappointments? And perhaps where you felt passed by or God didn't show up for you, didn't deliver you, you had to make a plan. Do you understand that? Make a plan. If God doesn't show us, show up, we'll make a plan, right? I've done that. Right? Anyway, so would you just put that aside and think of the possibility of God's power flowing towards you? And just begin to get our belief systems straightened out. And begin to look to God again. And I believe that His power is going to flow. Hallelujah. Hey, I've still got 45 minutes left. Eh? No, I'm just playing. I'm playing. 3 minutes past nine. So I really, really believe that when our faith is, when we hear something, when we hear what God is doing, it's not all bad. I mean, out there it's bad, but God has a plan. Let me just tell you, since we were here last, that in Cape Town we have been through the drought crisis. Now I'm going to end with this. And the prognosis for us was rather bad. Worse than what you guys have had, I think. I mean, the water restrictions went up to 6B, they call it, where you can only use 50 liters of water per person per day. You're not allowed to flush your toilets with the normal, you've got to use your bath water. Do you know what I'm saying? I think you guys all know this. And it was quite serious. And right way back in December and January, I started praying and I said, "God, this is getting bad." And there were people, I mean, I think the sales of JoJo tanks just went through the roof. I think those people who make those tanks must have made a fortune. All plastic containers of all sorts were, it's just amazing, the sales and the atmosphere of Cape Town was just everything about saving water. You go into the malls, hand sanitizer everywhere, and I hate that stuff. It doesn't feel like your hands are clean, you know. Have you ever used that stuff? I don't like that stuff. Don't bring me hand sanitizer. I hate it. Horrible. Anyway, we had to use it. Only one tap working, and it's just trickling like this. In a mall where there's about 10,000 people shopping on a Saturday morning, and everyone wants to use the toilet. You know? Anyway, so I thought to myself, maybe we should get a well point. Maybe we should, like a borehole, you know, a well point's different to a borehole. Well point is shallower, borehole's deeper. I thought maybe we should get this. So I thought to myself, okay, God, should I get a, you know, must I get a borehole? Because they're talking about day zero. They're talking about the fact that we're all going to have to queue up for water, and I don't want to queue up for water. Must I get a well point? And I felt the Lord said, no, I've got this covered. I said, okay, I'm not going to get one. But in the meantime, we're just going to buy water. So all the water sales, you know, you could buy 5 liters at Woolworths and Pick and Pay and Checkers and those places. So I thought, okay, we'll just buy. So we started buying water. We must have bought about 300 liters of water in 5-liter containers. Our house was stacked full of boxes of water. So I thought, okay, let's prepare. I don't know when God's going to come through. I know He is going to, but I don't know when. You know that? You know when you're praying like Elijah prayed for rain? Sends his servant to go and look out over the sea. And the servant comes back and says, there is nothing. Guess what Elijah said? He didn't say, oh, well, forget it. Let's leave it. Maybe I didn't hear God. Bye-bye. Let's just get off this mountain. He said, go and look again. Servant came back the second time, nothing. He said, go again. 7 times he said it, and then he saw the cloud the size of a man's hand. See, the problem is we don't fight until something happens. Sometimes we give up somewhere along the way. I don't know. But anyway, so God said to me, I got it covered. So I said, okay. But I got all the water stacked up at home, I thought. If something happens, I've got a little backup plan. No well point. He didn't say something about bottles. He said, well point. You know what we like? That's what we like. So anyway, and then one day the Lord said to me, I'm going to send the rain early. The rains will come early. So we had a meeting. I got up in the meeting, one of our prophetic gatherings, and I said, by the way, guys, the rains will come early in Cape Town, and they'll be the best rains we've had for a number of years. Everybody's, no rain, eh? Everyone's, ooh, you know. So I carried on thanking God every day for that rain and for what He told me. Then April came. We used to have rains in April back 15 years ago, 10 years ago, and they stopped. They only started coming in June. Lo and behold, this year, April, the rain started coming. Man, when the first big one came in April, there was stuff on Facebook of, one guy took a video. He jumped out of his car on the highway. He put his hands up like this in the rain in the video. Other people were doing the same thing. I don't know if you saw it on Facebook. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Rain. There's some rain. And boy, it began to rain steadily. June, we had very good rains. July was not so good. But August, now we've got rain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So we're going home to rain. So God began to move. Our dams are up to probably about 70% or just over by now with the runoff from the mountains. About 70%. Where we were down to like 23 or something percent just before the rain started coming, or even less. I think it was 21 in the total storage of all the dams. So I want to tell you something. God is good. Amen. my God is good. Do you notice Paul said this to the believers? My God shall supply all your need. Not his God. The God I believe, the good God I know, will supply your need. The theology I got is that God is good. And he has a plan and he has a solution. And he's going to do something for us. He's going to help us and he's going to help you. Just press in. God respects faith. What have you heard? It's important that you hear the right stuff. Why do you think people share testimonies? It's like a dinner bell. God is saying, come and get it. What I did for this person, I'll do for you. Come on now. It's true. Testimonies of what God has done for people. Man, I tell you, it's amazing. I can go on, but I've run out of time. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Go and meditate on that. This scripture has been going through my mind even at night in bed. I can't shake it off. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. I dream about the scripture all the time. God is on my case about the scripture the whole time. It's not something I just thought, oh, well, let me just pull out a sermon I did 20 years ago and just so I can have something to say. God's been saying this to me. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. We've got to believe something.